In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us begin by praying. My God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love Thee. I ask pardon of Thee for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, and do not love Thee. O dearest Jesus, when shall I begin to understand the love which Thou hast had for me? Let me not live any more ungrateful to Thee as I have hitherto done. For the future I will love Thee only. I desire that my heart should belong to Thee alone. Ah, take possession of it, and keep it forever, that I may be always Thine, and Thou mayest be always mine, that I may love Thee, and Thou mayest love me forever. My sweet Redeemer, fill my heart with Thy love, so that I may forget the world and myself, to think of nothing but loving and pleasing Thee. Henceforth I will seek nothing but Thee, my God and my all. My God, Thou art my all. I wish for Thee alone and nothing more. Oh, that I could spend myself all for Thee, who hast spent Thyself all for me. I love Thee, my only good, my only love. I love Thee, and abandon myself entirely to Thy holy will. I love Thee, and because I love Thee, I will do all I can to please Thee. Dispose of me as Thou wilt. All I ask is that Thou wouldst give me grace to love Thee, and then do with me as Thou pleasest. Thy love is, and always shall be, my only treasure, my only desire, my only good, my only love. O Mary, dearest Mother, do Thou obtain for me the grace to love my God with all my heart and forever. Amen. This evening I will preach briefly on the day's epistle from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where St. Paul, obviously inspired by the Holy Ghost, gives us a marvelous teaching on charity. Earlier today in the talk that I gave about the vision of Tui, I mentioned how in that great, marvelous vision, how one of the things that is manifested is how God communicates His grace. And we can see in that vision that God communicates His grace primarily through Christ's redeeming sacrifice on the cross and the holy sacrifice of the Mass. At the very center and heart of Christ's redeeming sacrifice on the cross and the holy sacrifice of the Mass is charity. God's infinite love for man. Today's gospel makes specific reference to Christ's death. Jesus himself, in today's gospel, foretells his own death. He's foretelling his greatest act of love, his greatest act of charity. And then again in today's epistle, St. Paul, inspired by the Holy Ghost, teaching us about charity. Remember for a few moments the epistles that we've been hearing, because today's epistle is obviously the epistle for Quinquagesima Sunday, but we're still within the liturgical period that is Septuagesima. And so today's epistle is also the final epistle in a series of three. The epistle from 2 weeks ago, Septuagesima Sunday, the epistle then from last Sunday, Sexagesima Sunday, and then today's epistle, Quinquagesima Sunday. If you remember, the epistle from 2 Sundays ago, Septuagesima, was taken from 1 Corinthians 9 and 10, and I remind you of a particular quote from that epistle, quote, I chastise my body and bring it into subjection, close quote. St. Paul is teaching us of the value of mortification. I chastise my body and bring it into subjection. Then last Sunday, Sexagesima Sunday, the epistle was from 2 Corinthians 11 and 12. One of the most beautiful passages in all of sacred scripture, where St. Paul is caught up unto paradise. A profound mystical experience of God, the truth about God. So profound that he cannot express it in words. And then three times he begs the Lord to liberate him from a sting of his flesh, an angel of Satan tempting him. Prayer. Prayer and contemplation. And then in today's epistle from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, charity. All three of them go together. Mortification, prayer, charity. And the crown of all of them today, Quinquagesima Sunday, charity. The love of God. The love of neighbor. Listen again to what we hear in the inspired word of God today. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 to 7. Quote, charity is patient, is kind. Charity envieth not, dealeth not perversely, is not puffed up, is not ambitious, seeketh not her own, is not provoked to anger, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth with the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Close quote. We also heard today in one of the talks how there are a lot of similarities between Lent, the season of Lent, the holy season of Lent that's about to begin on Wednesday, and Fatima and the Fatima message. Well, we're now nearing the end of our preparation for the beginning of the season of Lent, and we've heard a very important teaching about mortification, prayer, charity. This will be central for the season of Lent. In many ways, this is also at the center of the message of Our Lady of Fatima. Mortification and sacrifice, prayer, in particular praying the rosary, and the love of God. This evening I just want to, again, say a few words about the love of God, charity, because this is very much a part of the message of Fatima. The message of Fatima is all about God's grace and mercy. When we hear those words, grace and mercy, definitely we should be thinking the love of God, God's infinite love. One of the best simple ways just to describe God's grace is it's the life and the love that is overflowing from God. That life and love that he communicates to his creatures, to his children. Listen again to these brief prayers from Fatima that are expressing love of God. My God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love thee. And because I love thee, this really isn't part of the prayer, but I'm kind of just interjecting it. And because I love thee so much, I ask pardon of thee for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, and do not love thee. And then the prayer that the shepherd children prayed at the end of the first apparition on May 13th, 1917, which I mentioned in my talk. O most holy Trinity, I adore thee. My God, I love thee in the most blessed sacrament. I always make it a point to tell the faithful things that they can do, I mean, as far as further study, as maybe some of you have noticed. So I'll do it again here in the sermon, and I'll mention to you one of the great spiritual masterpieces of St. Alphonsus Liguori is titled The Practice of the Love of Jesus Christ. And what St. Alphonsus does in this great work is he writes to us about the infinite love of Jesus for us and how we should strive to love him in return. And then he basically sets out a teaching, a plan on how we can love our Savior Jesus Christ, how we can grow in our love of Him in the practice of charity. And what he does is, guess what? He bases this treatise on today's epistle. He bases it on the celebrated text by St. Paul on the qualities of charity, specifically what I just quoted to you, 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 to 7. And St. Alphonsus explains in 13 chapters the principal virtues that we ought to practice and the defects we ought to avoid in order to render to our Lord love for love. To really be able to love Him as He deserves. Again, breaks it up into 13 chapters. And what he does is he just divides the verses we just heard into 13. So chapter 1 is charity is patient. Chapter 2 is charity is kind. Chapter 3 is charity envieth not. Chapter 4 is charity dealeth not perversely. And chapter 5, charity is not puffed up. You get the picture. Obviously, I encourage you to read that work. Something you can do for Lent. Because don't get lost. Don't think that Lent is only about mortification and prayer. It certainly is. But the crown is charity, the love of God. And at the very beginning of this work, St. Alphonsus Liguori teaches us, quote, "The whole sanctity and perfection of a soul consists in loving Jesus Christ, our God, our sovereign good, and our Redeemer." Close quote. All our perfection, all our sanctity, you can add in there all our happiness. And what does it consist? Loving Jesus Christ. In his introduction to the practice of the love of Jesus Christ, St. Alphonsus spends a fair amount of time emphasizing the immense love that Christ has shown us in his passion, and the immense love that he has shown us in instituting the most holy sacrament of the altar, the most blessed sacrament. This should sound familiar in terms of also the vision of Tui and the ways that God is communicating his grace and the truth about God. I'll read to you just a brief passage of what he writes about the immense love that Christ has shown us in his passion. And what he's telling us is he's telling us, reflect on how much our Lord has loved us in his passion. This is something very appropriate for Lent. When we're praying the stations of the cross, when we're reflecting on the passion of our Lord, may we not lose sight of the infinite charity that has moved our Lord and Savior to suffer what he suffered. And this is what St. Alphonsus Liguori basically is doing at the very beginning of this masterpiece. He wants us to reflect on how infinitely our Lord has loved us in his passion. And then he's saying, this should help you to realize how you are obliged to love him in return with all your strength, with all your mind, with all your heart. And this is the brief reflection that I'll quote from St. Alphonsus Liguori. Again, this is from the practice of the love of Jesus Christ. He writes, quote, "In this grand mystery of man's redemption, we must consider how Jesus employed all his thoughts and zeal to discover every means of making himself loved by us. Had he merely wished to die for our salvation, it would have been sufficient had he been slain by Herod with the other children. But no, he chose before dying to lead during 33 years a life of hardship and suffering. And during that time, with a view to win our love, he appeared in several different guises. First of all, as a poor child born in a stable. Then as a little boy helping in the workshop. And finally, as a criminal executed on a cross. But before dying on the cross, we see him in many different states, one and all calculated to excite our compassion and to make himself loved. In the agony in the garden, bathed from head to foot in a sweat of blood, afterwards in the court of Pilate, torn with scourges, then treated as a mock king with a reed in his hand, a ragged garment of purple on his shoulders, and a crown of thorns on his head, then dragged publicly through the streets to death, while the cross upon his shoulders, and at length on the hill of Calvary, suspended on the cross by three iron nails. Tell me, does he merit our love or not? This God who has vouchsafed to endure all these torments and to use so many means in order to captivate our love. Close quote. Now, in addition to the two great examples provided by St. Alphonsus at the beginning of this work of the infinite love of Christ, again, his passion and the institution of the Most Blessed Sacrament, I encourage you in the coming weeks and months to also consider the immense love he has shown us in sending his mother to Fatima. In spite of all our infidelities and perhaps the greatest sins against him in the history of mankind in our times, in spite of all the sin that has been abounding and extending in the last century, still, our Savior Jesus Christ has willed to send his mother to Fatima. Consider the immense love he has shown. And also, in particular, the immense love that he has shown in our times. Not 200 years ago, not 400 years ago, not in the time of the apostles, of how he has wished to establish devotion to her Immaculate Heart. The more devoted we are to Mary's Immaculate Heart, the more our souls will be holy and perfect, because the more we will love Jesus Christ our God, since our heart will be coming more and more like Mary's Immaculate Heart. The whole point here is that devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary will make you a saint, because you'll be growing more and more in a perfect love of Jesus Christ. That's the love in the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And so I conclude this evening just reminding you of a short little phrase from one of the beautiful prayers composed by Saint Louis de Montfort, where pretty much this is being expressed. And he prays, we pray now to conclude. O Most Holy Mary, grant that I may have no other heart but thine, to love God with a love as pure and ardent as thine. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.